This episode contains spoiler warnings for current TV shows. Listen at your own discretion.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Lost in the Static, indeed. Everybody. Thanks a bunch for joining us. Real quick, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC at the very end. You get three free DVDs, free shipping, 50% off of one of your items, and a free mystery gift that is so darn sexy we can't even mention it here on the show.
And the Adam and Eve promo even ties in with our special guest. We have Bill Margold, the godfather of porn, back with us. Yes, he's cackling in the background there. What's going on, Bill?
Whatever you like, kid. Just having fun. Part of the X-rated industry is existing in the X-rated industry is always unpredictable.
In a good way or a bad way?
In every way, both good and bad, which makes life go around. And right now, I'm able to discuss a brand new project that's coming out on VOD or DOD or whatever the hell these things are called. It's called After Porn Ends, and it's a brand new project that's finally getting the okay to be released, about what happens when people leave the industry. And I got involved in it totally by accident, by sort of a tragic accident. I was attending and speaking at Buck Adams's wake, brought there by Amber Lynn, and the people were there filming it, and then they interviewed me. And what I say in this documentary probably is the most somber and, I think, down-to-earth statements about this business that I've ever said, because, of course, I was depressed, basically, when I was speaking. So there's none of my sarcasm. There are a few lines in there, like, well, depending on how much you want to hear, there are a few lines about this never goes away. It is forever. What do you expect once you do this? Because you will get haunted by it the rest of your life. And the people who are in it have left the industry, and some of them are haunted, and some of them are not. So I think people should look forward to it. Your listeners, by the time this comes on, it might coincide with the release of After Porn Ends.
Well, because that's actually something I was going to ask you before I even knew that you were going to talk about that, would be there are certain porn producers, directors, actors, actresses that I've been wanting to get in touch with, you know, from the 70s and the 80s, and most of them have moved on to quote-unquote mainstream lives, and they don't want anything to do with porn, like Ashlyn Gere, Steven Sayhadian, Francis D'Elia, people like this that kind of, I made those films, you know, and I was proud of them at the time, but now, because I mean, I've heard these people, they've changed their names, and I've heard Ashlyn Gere is now a real estate agent in Texas under a new name.
Well, that's all you really need to know if she doesn't want to be.
You've got mail.
If she doesn't want to be located, if she doesn't want to be tracked down, leave them alone. Eventually, there'll be, I believe, the lure to be found, because once it's in your blood, no matter how seemingly anonymous you want to remain, for a period of time, there was a bright, shining moment when you weren't anonymous. And that, once in a while, you want to be non-anonymous again. Whether Gere comes back or not, I don't know. I know all of where she is in that, but I'm not going to her. She has to come to me, because I've already given her most of what she can ever win in this business. I'd like to acknowledge her sometime later this year as part of the all-time performers. She's in the top 52, and I'd like to get those plus the next 24, as many of them together, for the 40th anniversary of the X-rated industry, which is officially this year because it coincides with the release of Green Door and Deep Throat. In fact, I got very disturbing news today that Paul Thomas is considering now remaking Green Door. That's disturbing news for a number of reasons. Why, first of all, can't we do anything new? And anybody who would be stupid enough to take the role of Marilyn Chambers and what she did in Green Door is asking for the most pathetic form of comparison. there will be no more Marilyn Chamberses. I don't care if they had, and I don't know what the hottest person in R-rated movies is today, like Megan Fox has no talent. If Nicole Kidman played, or Penelope Cruz played the role that Marilyn Chambers played in Green Door, I don't think either one of them could bring any more, or Angelina Jolie could bring any more to the screen than Chambers did. Because Chambers was American innocence. Kidman, Jolie, Cruz, not even American, or Kidman's not either, none of them would bring that strange ivory soap look to the screen.
I agree
with
that.
Why bother? Why are we doing this? What, this hell-bent to destroy ourselves and imitate ourselves seems to be a death wish unto itself.
It seems that Hollywood has long been out of ideas. And I wanted, actually, that leads into a question I had for you, was, speaking of Hollywood being out of ideas, we've seen a lot of "this ain't Star Trek," the XXX parody, "this ain't Star Wars," "this ain't Friends."
Those things are just pathetic. And that's, yes, our industry is now, however, although I haven't seen either one of the movies, apparently the Three Stooges are now suing our industry for God knows what, copyright infringement. The parody craze basically was a fad for the last couple of years, and I think it's worn out its welcome. I did parodies back before most of these people were even born. The goddaughter, of course, is the godfather. Don't Get Them Wet is Gremlins. We did Dracula Sucks, which, of course, is Dracula. These people think that there really isn't much left in the heads of many of these people, and they're just going through the motions. They think if they turn on a camera and have a sex scene that runs a half hour, which I just watched a movie wherein the sex scene did run for a half hour, that's good filmmaking. First of all, I envy the man who's in it, Manuel Ferrara, who performs for a half hour, but why bother? Get it over with within 12 minutes and go on with the rest of your day.
I was going to say, it usually only takes me about 5 and I'm done with the sex scene, but that's...
Oh, yeah. That's the whole purpose of it, to have these marathon, Olympic-type orgasms, heading toward orgasms, sort of wears you out and you get restless. Plus, this movie, called Portrait of a Call Girl, proceeded to win all kinds of awards, and there's only one woman in it. And sex is a variety, and the spice of life is variety, and you want to see more than one set of tits and one vagina in a movie. You need it.
That's generally the rule.
Differentiation. If you want one set of tits and one vagina, you already have one you're living with. So what do you need anymore? You know, why bother? You want variety, you want differentiation, and you want a fantasy. And I didn't go through any of those feelings watching this. I'm not criticizing it in a way that I normally do, because it is an appreciated work by this man who has very nice music and mounts some very interesting scenes. But after he mounts his scene, he rides it to death, and you become rather squirmy, and that ain't good.
No, it's not. No.
But again, there's so many different ways to go. I was hoping you would talk about mainstream Hollywood a little, because until yesterday, I had not seen a film worth a damn from mainstream Hollywood. And then yesterday, I tumbled in to Cabin in the Woods, and it is a blast.
I disagree with that greatly, but you're entitled to your opinion, Bill.
See, I'll take your side, Bill. So
I can probably tell you why you disagree with it. Because if you poke at it too much, it begins to fall apart. And quite frankly, you've seen a great deal of it in Angel and some of it in Buffy. But because I was so desperate and so hungry that I had seen nothing this year, including a movie that I wrote a review of, saying that if I ever see another movie like this, my eyes have already threatened me. If I put them to another movie like this, they will turn me into a blind man. And that was the absolutely inexorable piece of garbage, 21 Jump Street.
Thank you.
That movie is beyond painful. I felt like I had literally died, and I'm surprised I'm still not in that theater.
Maybe that's why you came back as Jerry Garcia.
Well, maybe so. Maybe I needed to, but nothing has put me through such torture for personal reasons, because Viper, my great love, discovered the show before I did. I was busy on those first few Sunday nights, and when I came home, she began to rave about this kid named Johnny Depp, and she said, the man will be a superstar beyond your wildest dreams. And the show was, it was a mini cult series. He was good. I identified with it to a certain extent because I'd worked in juvenile hall. But the film is one of the most puerile, pathetic. It's up on my website, BillMargold.com, if you want to read what I really think about it. But there are other bad films out there right now, too. And another one is this absolutely starving for any form of entertainment, Hunger Games. That movie is even more empty in many ways than 21 Jump Street. Well, I could not understand what all this, hue and crying about how wonderful this, there's nothing there. I've already seen it in something called Future World. It's just not, and who cares about these dimensionless children? The movie's, I don't know if either one of you have suffered through it yet, but it is a beyond bore.
I have not had any interest, and I don't know about Scott, but...
I haven't been exposed to it other than the previews, and I think from what I've heard, it's one of those films that you can't enjoy unless you really enjoyed the books. And
I don't understand what would be in those books that is enjoyable, because what it is watching a semi-futuristic world where kids have to go out on national or whatever television, and one of them gets to live and they have to kill all the other ones. Now, this I would prefer among adults who I have less use for in what I would refer to as a national day of dueling. I think that every year we should have a day of dueling, and you get to choose an enemy and let them take the first shot, and then you have the option of either killing them or banishing them into an eternity of non-recognition.
So basically like what Sarah Palin's fate is right now.
Oh, speaking of that, the best television movie of all time, that Game Change.
I have not seen that yet, but I've heard nothing but good things
about
it.
Woody Harrelson's performance, unbelievable. But the problem with all of this is that television right now is so good that movies pale in comparison. Now, I know that we're all waiting for Avengers. We're all waiting for Batman. I'm terrified of this battleship. What the hell is that?
It's terrible.
Not the game I played as a child.
No, it's I've seen it. It's awful.
Well, what is it, and why does it even take the same name?
They took the name for the recognition, and it just so happens to involve some ships at sea, and that's about where the connection ends.
No, the aliens actually dropped giant peg-style bullets into the boats. I'm not kidding, Bill.
There's a giant peg?
Yeah, they drop giant pegs into the boats like you did in the game. It's that ridiculous.
No.
Yes,
oh,
you can even see it in the trailer. I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating.
Well, you know, there's a couple of reasons why I was sort of hoping for the film. I was a great fan of Kish, this Taylor Kish, and I did endure John Carter, which if you don't ask Carter any questions, leave it alone, it's harmless. But the minute you poke at it, it's junk. And he obviously didn't know how to be a hero in that kind of movie, and I really now worry about him trying to pull off this. However, there's a redeeming value because he's coming out in this thing called Savages. I hope you've seen the trailer.
I've seen
that.
The trailer for that new Oliver Stone movie. I thought Oliver Stone lost his mind 10 years ago. Maybe he got it back.
This thing looks like something Peckinpah would have done.
Yeah, The Savages looks really damn good.
Yeah, so I have hope. It's funny that you didn't... Well, there are reasons why everybody likes movies or doesn't like movies. I think because Cabin in the Woods gave me the ending that Angel never did. It's the final... It's what Angel wanted to be at its own end, which I think is one of the great ends in the history of a television show, but they didn't have the finances to do it, and now they do. And of course, we're not going to believe any of this crap, but it's an interesting form of audience manipulation. And I sat there and hugged myself because they were giving me the ending of Angel that I never got.
Well, good.
Have to admit, if you were an Angel fan, you sort of wondered when Angel said, you know, I've never fought a dragon before, that what was going to happen if they got to.
Exactly. They actually did follow up on that. They had a comic book that came out that picked up right where that left off.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Angel Season 6, and they had like three more seasons of Buffy in comic book form as well.
Oh, see, I don't know those kind of things because you're both considerably younger than me. It was cute as I left the theater yesterday, two kids coming in to clean up said, did you like this movie? And I said, oh, yeah, I told them why, and they had not seen Angel. But then they both said, the Avengers. And I said, so they're talking about that. And I said, wait a minute, you know, there's a problem with the Avengers. You have 8 major characters to rationalize. What do you think? Are you looking forward to it?
Not in the least.
I'm willing to give it a go. I think the Avengers might end up being kind of like John Carter. I call them turn off your brain films. Just go in, eat your popcorn, enjoy the big explosions.
Oh, that's so cute because my very last line of my Carter review is exactly what you just said. And, you can go on my site and read it. Like I said, don't ask. Just go and enjoy all the popcorn that watching it will compel you to consume.
Exactly.
And see, to me, I'm not looking forward to that in the tiniest. I'm dreading that movie.
Now, well, perhaps because maybe you two kids are too eclectic for your own good and you're allowed once in a while to lower your brow and have some fun. But each to their own. That's why movies are so much fun and they mean so much because they're part of our... They link our lives together by what you remember, what you don't remember. I just stumbled upon on TCM. I got to watch one of my all-time favorite, utterly mindless movies, The Crimson Pirate, which not only features Burt Lancaster in drag, I don't know if you remember that part of the movie, but it's a very interesting film on a multitude of levels. They get away with a lot of things there that they didn't later on, because that's the ultimate swashbuckler to me. It's just preposterous.
I've seen it, and you're right. It's an excellent, excellent film. Now, Bill, one of your great talents that we discovered last time we talked is you have a gift for spotting talent in general. And when we're talking about mainstream Hollywood or anything like that, is there anybody that has really pinged your radar these days? Do you see some up and coming talent that we might look out for?
Or are you talking about the real world, a female, male? What would you like to know?
Well, I'm kind of like when you saw 21 Jump Street and.
Well, I'm not the one who spotted Depp. My great love Viper began extolling his, praises. The second she saw him, she said, this guy, and I have to admit that with a rare exception, and he has had some real pieces of junk, that stupid Rum Diary is a movie that should have taken out and shot before it got made, and everybody involved with it. But there is a man I'm watching now on something called The Killing, which you have to give yourself to The Killing, and every time you watch an episode of it, you feel rusty because it rains all the way through the damn thing. But I'm telling you who you should watch out for. His name is Joel Kinnaman.
I think that's the new RoboCop. They just cast him as RoboCop in the new remake.
What?
Yeah,
they're making a RoboCop?
Yeah, they're remaking RoboCop, and he just got cast as Alex Murphy.
Oh, my God. Why would they try? What's the purpose of remaking RoboCop?
RoboCop's a damn near perfect film as it is. I agree with you. There's no reason for it.
But, you know, Kinnaman has what I refer to, and I do this when I watch the show because of him. He has this really suspicious look about him. There's something about him that you don't. Keeps you off guard. And I'll tell you, the last actor who did that to me was James Coburn.
I can see that.
Kinnaman reminds me of Coburn in a lot of different ways. The killing itself, I watch it and then I feel like I feel like the Tin Man. Because it rains 24 hours a day in that miserable set up in Seattle. As far as a female I want to see more of, in fact, I'll tell you who I really liked, and you didn't like the film. I liked the redhead. Of course, I have an affinity to redheads. The heroine in Cabin. I felt that she was really dimensional in her trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. I'm not sure why you disliked it. Maybe you expected too much from it. It is interesting. You're going to start asking that movie questions, and you're going to wind up not getting many legitimate answers back. And that's sort of sad, particularly the owl or hawk. How did the hawk get in there? And then you got to wonder. I think the one who saw it understands what I'm talking about. But you have to admit there are some really cool touches, even to the point of having Amy Acker as one of the assistants and some real-world people. And then, of course, I don't want to give away the ending with a certain performer from Alien showing up.
It's already been out there. It's already well out there that Sigourney Weaver makes a cameo at the end.
That's the one point in the movie where I began to say they were trying too hard. But don't you admit that all that stuff in the multiple levels of hell wasn't that brilliant?
I don't think so. I have a big issue with Joss Whedon. Just he thinks he's as good as all his fans seem to think he is. That whole movie struck me as hubris on a massive level. The whole movie struck me as, I am so clever, and I just hate movies like that.
Well, wait a minute. Were you not a fan of Firefly?
Firefly is the only one I give Joss Whedon credit for. Didn't like Angel very much. Hated Buffy. Hated Dollhouse. I hated Alien Resurrection. I hated Atlantis, The Lost Continent. I hated everything this guy's touched except Firefly.
I liked Firefly a lot, the space western. It also introduced me to a performer who went on to become magnificent on Mad Men, which is Christina Hendricks, but I did not like the feature film that was made out of Firefly. Serenity or whatever
Serenity.
That was called.
Serenity.
Serenity. I didn't like it. It didn't give me the final, I guess, frosting on the cake that I expected, because Firefly was a deliciously fun show.
See,
as short as it was. Some of those...
I definitely agree with you when it comes to Firefly, and I am a Joss Whedon fan. The only thing that Whedon has done that I didn't enjoy was Dollhouse, which I think was a good...
I hated Dollhouse. I thought Dollhouse... Now, there is a pretentious show.
Yes.
That thing was so gimmick within gimmick within gimmick, I couldn't stand... It's one of the rare shows I started... but never kept watching until its bitter end.
I
don't think it ever really did end. It just sort of died a horrible death.
Yeah, I don't think it ever really started, frankly.
True.
If I could make a suggestion, Bill, the BBC did a short series on Sherlock Holmes, and they brought Sherlock Holmes into the modern world. And I can't remember off the top of my head who they got to play Sherlock and Watson, but... It sounds like you and I have similar tastes, and if you're able to find that series, the BBC Sherlock Holmes, I think it was just done last year or 2010.
Well, I'll look for it. I have Netflix. I have BBC On Demand.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Beyond that, right?
Yeah, it is on Netflix, and I can't recommend that show enough. It's smart. It's got some plot twists that fooled me, which is hard these days, and sticks close to the spirit of Arthur Conan Doyle. So it's an excellent series, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Well, one that I'd like
to... Now, let's get back to who I've seen lately that interests me. In the X-rated industry, I'm going to give you a couple of names.
Please.
I don't think I've mentioned either one of these before. One of them is this adorable, absolute goofy kid named Leia Falcon. I met her on the phone She mentioned she was a Star Wars fan. Within 3 minutes, I gave her the name Leia Falcon.
It's a good name, by the way.
Well, it works for her. She's a goofy-looking, absolutely adorable, consumed with Star Wars. She carries a Darth Vader purse. She has a Darth Vader thing on her shoulder. She absolutely speaks Star Wars speak. And then I gave her a couple of original stills from Star Wars, and she was thrilled.
Because
I had them in the collection. And when anybody ever says to me they want something more than I want it, they should have it.
I'm going to have to meet this one.
Josh had first mentioned that for some reason he collected laser discs, which are the ultimate of obscurity. I believe he received a package of them.
Yes, all of a sudden a bunch of laser discs, and I'm like, what the hell? And then when I watch New Wave Hookers, I'm like, oh my God, it's uncut. It's not like the DVD, which is censored, of all things.
Well, I wouldn't admit to that, but it's okay.
Well, no. It's not the Tracy Lords thing. For whatever reason, the DVD beeps out the racial epithets when they keep saying chink and nigger. They actually the DVD bleeps those. The Laserdisc actually has all... Yeah, it's censored for its dialogue, if you can believe that. So my Laserdisc is uncut.
And I have a feeling that Holiday, who did all that censoring, by the way, for VCA, probably didn't realize that it had ever been released on Laserdisc.
So I found that funny when I'm like, hey, the epithet is there. Interesting. This is a really uncut
that is.
One.
No, good for you. So a Leia Falcon is somebody for you kids to look forward to. In fact, I'll put her in touch with you. Maybe you can interview her. She's goofy. Then we have this little tiny punched out of cookie dough blonde named Allie James, who is almost too good to be true. She's only 19. She supposedly was in the Marines when she was 18. They broke her finger and threw her out. Now, I don't understand that, to be honest, but she said they were jealous of her because she was so good-looking. A little bit nuts in that respect, too. And they broke her finger, which you can see a crooked little finger on her right hand, and threw her out. And I don't know if she's the future. I get scared when I make those kind of predictions because the last one I put a lot of hope in was, of course, Sunny Lane. And she spent 5 good years in the business, but now is gone. So I can't really – I have to deal with her sometime down the line if she would be justifiably a legend, and I don't think so. Which brings up a whole other world. I helped create an organization called the XRCO, which the X-Rated – Critics Organization, and it has a Hall of Fame, and I'm not as close to them as I used to be, and imagine my surprise this year when among the people they named to their Hall of Fame, along with the justifiable Jenna Hayes and Jesse Jane and Rhonda Jo Petty, they name a person named Miles Long. Now, have either one of you ever heard of Miles Long?
No, but it's a great name.
Yeah, it's one of the better I've heard, but no.
That is... If, as I put it, he were black and was an actor. But he's neither black nor much of an actor. He's somebody who has directed a few things and shot a few things. But in my opinion, the definition of legend is another six-letter word.
You can say it.
And that's impact.
There you go.
I've never heard of this man. Now, you would think 40 years I've been in this business, officially now. Over 40, to be frank, but 40 years sounds good. Don't you think somewhere along the line, in the entire 40 years of my existence, I would have heard of this man?
It's a little suspicious,
so I wrote an entire article. There's an article on the internet. No, I don't think it is on the internet. It opens with, who is Miles Long? So he shows up at the awards, and what I did is, since this one guy vouched for him, I referred to him as an obsequious toady. His name is Jeff Mullen, also known as Will Ryder, who, by the way, is one of the princes of parodies at this point in our industry. And he comes up to me at the XRCO and says, I had to go to the dictionary to find out what obsequious meant. And so I then said to him, well, that in itself is obsequious. And he didn't like that. So then he introduces Miles Long and turns to me and says, see? And I said, see what? And then Miles Long accepts his induction into the Hall of Fame. And it was one of the most beautiful acceptance speeches I ever heard. So I said, now that is a Hall of Fame acceptance speech, but I still have no idea who this guy is. And then later that night, I had a picture taken with him, and I turned to him and I said, I have no idea who you are. And now I'm in trouble for doing that. People said, how dare you treat a Hall of Famer with such disparaging comments? I said, I don't know who the man was. How could he escape? He'd been in the business since 99. Think about it.
He just somehow snuck by you or something.
Snuck under the radar?
But how can anybody sneak by me in a family of X, which is not as, yeah, and again, to justify himself to the Hall of Fame, he's most certainly not justifiable. I'm at war with a lot of factions. I have problems right now with my industry on a multitude of levels, not the least of which you may or may not be aware of the condemnation of the X-rated industry in L.A., where they're demanding condoms.
Yep, we talked about that on What the Fuck.
Well, it's now they're running wild, and they think they're going to get away with it, and I'm sort of waiting to see what's going to happen next because they don't have enough people, they don't have enough condom police to put this, to enact it, but they think they're going to get away with it, and it's very amusing because I've offered a deal to the medical people that there be no condoms for oral, and we do them for anal, and we discuss vaginal. But on the backside of that, I would also like to have the testing for STDs increased to every other week. I would also like to have testing for intravenous drug use. And if they're found to be using intravenous drugs, throw them out of the business. Hey, hell, they get away with it in football and baseball, don't they?
I think I can definitely stand behind you on that one.
Absolutely.
And then my ace card is, and it has nothing to do with the health of this business, but it does with the mental health of this business, which we can discuss because some teacher in Oxnard just got caught for making an X-rated film. I want to raise the age of entrance into the X-rated industry to 21 years old.
I bet you're going to get fought on that one.
Oh, I'm being fought on everything I even suggest. Testing every other week, intravenous testing, absolutely not, because they're scared. They start testing for intravenous drugs, we'd have a workforce of three people.
I can see that.
I don't believe that, by the way. I don't think everybody shoots up, but I think those who do are automatically asking for something else to destroy them besides the drugs. What they do is they reduce their immune system to a pane of glass, and then a lot worse than HIV is going to crawl in there and finish them off. I'm not saying that. Now, this is not a novel concept, by the way. I've been asking for this since 1985 when I spoke in front of the Mies Commission. Before there was ever testing, I was asking for intravenous testing.
I've heard.
Because I don't do drugs. I'm not a big fan of them. I think that I get high. This is my high for the day. Getting a chance to be on your show.
Well, we're happy to have you. Anytime you want to get high, give us a call.
Boy, that can be taken out of context really easy.
Yes, it can. Now, I've heard a lot of critics of the X-rated industry, of the adult industry, saying that it is inherently a self-destructive industry, meaning that people get involved with it because they have no self-esteem, because they have an idea that they're going to get in and no pun intended, but go out with a bang. And how do you answer that kind of criticism?
Well, I'll tell you what maybe I said this redundantly, but I've referred to this industry in perpetuity as a playpen of the damned. We're sociologically damned by a nation who jacks off to us with one hand and denies us with the other. I believe there is a certain amount of sociological death wish, physiological death wish, and psychological death wish by anybody who comes into this business, it's more, you know, again, what I think, a guy did a study. He asked me to get 100 questionnaires done, and he said that the adult performer has the same sociological death wish as a race car driver, a bullfighter, and a skydiver. So I believe that there is underlying, it's all based on the five most important letters in this industry, R-E-B-E-L. They're all rebels. They're all natural born retaliation against something in their upbringing. They're getting even with somebody. They're getting even with something. They're also, the most important person in the world to them is their ego. They're going to substantiate themselves no matter how hard they have to work at doing it, validate themselves, make themselves credible. But the problem is, in today's market, how many superstars can you name? Whereas in the golden era, you could name almost all of them.
I was going to say, all the ones that come to mind for me are pretty much pre-1980.
Yeah, so. I'm thinking of the John Holmes and Ginger Lynns and Ashlyn Gears and Michelle Bowers and stuff like that. And those are all from
Michelle
the golden
Bowers
era.
Michelle Bowers is a very interesting case because she did very little in the hardcore business. You know that.
Yeah, but she started in hardcore and then moved to become a legitimate scream queen.
Yes, and I just spoke about her to somebody 2 days ago in relationship to Linnea Quigley, who I've met only once, and in fact she kills me in a movie, which I thought was rather amusing. But she had worked with my great love, Viper, in Vice Academy and Leather Jackets, and I think a couple of other ones. So they had been all together, and in fact Linnea Quigley said to me way back in 98, when we realized who we were, I realized to her, and I said I lived with the Viper. She said, oh, Stephanie should have stayed in our world. She would have been a tremendous scream queen with that tattoo. She would have just been fun, all kinds of fun. And I thought that was very nice that Quigley recognized Viper and or recognized her and remembered her. Again, right now we do have some, this movie Portrait of a Call Girl has a woman named Jessie Andrews in it. And I have to admit that although she's in every scene, which sort of, I think, detracts from her overall persona, she's in too much and is way too anxious to be almost abused during her sex scenes. There's a possibility there for something that is beyond the norm. But will you, 10 years from now, be mentioning the name Jessie Andrews? That's the great question.
Right.
They come in, and it's the reverse of what I said to Seika. I told Seika, I'll start you as hamburger and work you to filet mignon. Whereas now they come in as filet mignon, theoretically, and in 6 months, they're worse than hamburger. They're submitted to so much, and they try and upstage, I guess, each other, where Sasha Grey was going out of her way to look like she was being, you know, given X-rated versions of hell. When I watched her do a blowjob, she's slamming her head into the pubic bone or pelvic bone of this poor guy. If she had done that to me, I'd have smacked her in the face. I wouldn't have put up with that. What kind of behavior, what is that supposed to do for me?
Well, I think that
black and blue marks.
Yeah, I think that kind of leads into what my next question would be is, there used to be a certain elegance to the older movies. Now it's more into the gonzo. There's no story at all. It's just collections of scenes for 2.5 hours, and it's just people fucking as violently as possible. And to me, that's not a turn on.
Well, you know what that is? It's approaching what I refer to as the Colosseum form of sex. We're going to eventually wind up tearing each other apart on camera for the benefit of those watching. Of course, that brings up great television, and I don't know if either of you are a fan of Game of Thrones. I don't hear any response.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen it, to be honest. I don't have that pay channel.
I've watched the first episode, and it didn't grab me, so, yeah.
Well, I will tell you something about the last episode that ended on Sunday night. It had a scene that you will never see in an X-rated, well, I if we saw it in an X-rated movie. But worse than, not worse, more mesmerizing than that, is I then ran to read on HBO their summation to see how they would write about what I just watched. And I've never read anything like that in my life about a television show which I didn't see. So something's missing between her spreading her legs and this black creature coming out and going to black, because then something's written about that if we did it in our business, we'd go to jail.
I can
and
see that.
I don't know if I should be telling your listeners this, but and I don't think anybody has seen the uncut version of what they refer to, where this creature goes in and absolutely rapes an entire tent full of gay people, therefore wiping out one of the factions. And it's written in hardcore language. And I read it, but then amazingly, today when I went back to show it to somebody, it was gone.
I'll have to see
what
happened.
So what is that? That should tweak your minds and have you rushing off to HBO and wondering what the fuck happened, what the fuck didn't I see, or what the fuck did this guy see in his own mind that he thought he saw but never took place.
I'll have to take a look into that. That's
well, I think somebody should, because I think they wrote something that I drove my mind wild because I thought it was brilliant. And I said, they'll never show this. And they never did. I didn't see it. Maybe when he closed his eyes and went to bed with a couple of the stuffed bears, he saw it. But whoever wrote this has got to be delusional.
Well, I'll have to look
and
into that.
Your listeners will probably be all muddled by now, but Game of Thrones is an extraordinary show. Spartacus was wonderful. In fact, I've already said that when my cat finally dies, the next cat I'm going to get is going to be a golden kitten, and I'm going to name it Gannicus.
Excellent. I did see Spartacus Blood and Sand, and then the other short prequel series they did. The title doesn't come to mind, but you're right. That's one of the best out there, and especially the performance of Lucy Lawless, I think, was exceptional.
Well, now you've seen the finale, right?
Yes, I have. And listeners, if you are interested in Spartacus and you have not seen the finale, spoilers ahead. So go right ahead, Bill, and we'll talk about this.
I think that to be honest with you, we both love Lawless, but I never watched her in Xena. I just became entranced by her in this show, and I think we've had enough of Lawless. There's nowhere else for her to go, so she went. Is Lavinia still alive? Our friend, what do you think?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, you see the end of that, and you're like, boy, this is the beginning of something else, and I think she is, frankly.
Well, but she passes out. She lost an awful lot of blood. That's for damn sure.
Yes. But I think she may have lived. I don't think she'll ever be quite up to her former vim and vigor. She may come back damaged, certainly. But
what is there to come back? The thing is, her husband, of course, we know is no longer with us. So,
yes.
And Ananias is no longer with us. Because you know where Ananias has gone? Off to that True Blood series.
Yes.
Which is rather amusing. So, and I wish they had never said that. Because I expect now I knew this guy was doomed, and they sort of dragged him around near the end of that of last season, and I was not disturbed. The one that I'm absolutely crazy about, and he really upstages Spartacus in every scene because that's not the original Spartacus, is the guy is Gannicus, whose absolute joy in the face of death is magnificent. You know, it's a ridiculous show. Talk about a comic book show. But it's so much fun, and we'll see. I was sort of hoping that would have been the end of the whole damn thing. What else do they have to prove? What else do they really have to do next? We know how it ends, obviously.
Obviously,
it's
one of those where I hope that the writers have the foresight to go, this story has ended, and they let it go, because I've seen I've seen too many series become successful and gather a large fan base, and they tell a wonderful story that comes to a good end, Lost, and then they just keep continuing.
Burn Notice.
Yeah, continuing on with something that they want to try.
Burn Notice, go on.
Right, yeah. but they had the whole plot line wrapped up at the end of season three, but then they decided this show is a hit. We got to put in one last minute, oh, hey, there's still more conspirators out there, and then it keeps going. Just like, I'm really satisfied with how Justified, and if Justified did not come back next year, I'd be satisfied with how Justified ended this year.
Well, did you understand that ending completely?
I think I did, and I think Justified was just phenomenal this year, especially because they brought back Karen Sisko.
Well, the villainy on Justified was... But the problem is Neil McDonough has no chance to win an Emmy because the person who's going to win the Emmy is going to be either Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones or Harrelson.
Yeah.
So what chance does McDonough have? But did you read the final shot, the final line, the final intonation of Justified was one of the most chilling things I've ever witnessed on television.
The line from Limehouse?
No, God, no. It's the line where Oliphant says he was shooting at a man in a hat.
Oh, yeah, it's...
And then Natalie Zia is trying to comprehend what he's saying, that in fact Raymond Berry was trying to kill... He didn't give a shit. He couldn't stand his son, so he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never, ever had such a line delivered where it Justified is a very special show. And it's so down home. Of course, what it is a countrified version of The Shield. And The Shield, there would have been no Justified had there been no Shield. The Shield broke all of the taboos.
Well, and then a show you and I have talked about numerous times, Hill Street Blues, laid all the groundwork for The Shield.
Exactly. And Hill Street Blues is my very favorite show of all time in the history of television. But, you know, and the linchpin between Shield and Justified is the highly underrated Walton Goggins.
Oh, absolutely.
That man is so cool and so comfortable in the role of consummate evil. When it comes time to, I guess, pay him back, I don't know how Justified. You think about these kind of shows, but they are in many ways what are referred to as cheats because they only have to do it 10 to 13 times a year. Spartacus, 10 episodes. Game of Thrones, 10 episodes. If you have to do it 22 times, 24 times a year, it's a hell of a lot harder.
Exactly, but the thing with Justified is one of my favorite all-time Elmore Leonard characters, Karen Sisko, came back this season too from her own show and appeared in this, and I absolutely loved that. I loved that Carla Gugino played Karen Sisko again because Karen Sisko, the TV series, is one of my all-time favorite short-run series of 8 episodes. I absolutely loved all 8 episodes of that show.
Well, I'm going to try and track it down. I'm sure it's on Netflix, and I can do that. And, on your recommendation. In fact, I'm just about to start watching True Blood because I've been told I should watch it. So
I'd steer you away from that one personally.
And,
I don't know
and
Scott's feelings.
No, to tell you the truth, my wife and I tried watching True Blood, on multiple recommendations, and...
I gave it 4 episodes before I could not take any more.
Yeah, we did 3 episodes and shut it off, and that was that. We could not enjoy that series.
Well, I don't know. I there are things I want to catch up with for the historiography of things on television, but I watch a lot of nonsense series too. I absolutely love Glee, which is the most uneven show I've ever seen, but I love it because I can't sing and I can barely walk, so singing and dancing is one of my great pleasures to watch other people who are immensely talented do so. And I'm looking forward to how they're going to get these kids out of school and what they're going to do next year. I have a whole bunch of series I'm locked into. I'm watching Smash, although I have to admit it's a little bit painful. and hard to take. But I'll tell you about this Kathleen McPhee, whatever her name is. She will be a superstar. Well, there's a prediction.
You recommended to me American Horror Story, and except for the finale, I liked it. I thought the finale got too. We're in spoiler territory here. Every single fucking person on that show gets killed within an hour of one another, all on the property. That was fucking ridiculous to me.
Yeah, but it's coming back with half those people coming back. They don't know. That show is just out of its mind and a whole lot of fun.
I
wrote about that show that I would not watch that show at night. I would tape it and watch it the next morning. That show really disturbed me. There was some stuff in there that got very personal about death. And again, it wore itself out with the exception of Jessica Lange, who was a revelation. But that's an insane version of Blanche DuBois. So kinda. Let her do whatever she wants. She's a magnificent person to watch. It's fascinating how a show which began discussing X-rated material has gone off to stuff that X-rated material can't do. Think about it.
Well,
industry could not do American Horror Story.
That's very true.
In any way, shape, or form, we could never do it.
And
first of all, we don't have anybody any talented enough to do it.
Now,
maybe me, but I don't think they're going to give me any money to do anything.
Bill, when we relate this stuff to the X-rated industry, is there a lack of writing talent in the X-rated industry now? Is it people not wanting to go for story? Is it how could you fix it and kind of bring back at least a feeling of those golden days of X?
In our last 3 minutes.
And therein is the operative word, golden. There's no money. Where would we make our money now, since you can get it for nothing? Where would we make our money?
Give me
a theater. I have one last concept, and I'll put it on the line here. Nobody will rip it off because it takes too much talent. I want to make the internet soap opera, where you have to pay to play. Every week you get another installment. And then you can put it out into the general release public. But you would get your first version of it like a pay cable series. You'd have to pay to play. But nobody wants. People are so scared of me, it's ridiculous anyway. So I just leave them alone because I can outthink 90% of them with half my brain tied behind my back.
You know, to tell you the truth, I think if the series was good enough, I've seen plenty of podcasts out there that have like a free preview version and then a paid version, and they do just fine. There's a couple of people out there that make their living just doing, like you said, pay-for-play podcasts. And I think if the right talent stepped in, I think your concept is certainly doable.
But see, I don't know anything. Business and I have never seen eye to eye. Understand that I came into the X-rated industry for only one reason, and that was immortality.
Well, you've achieved that.
Certainly not for money, and you got to be kidding about the sex, which is beyond mechanical. Get up, get in, get out, get off. Get up, get in, get out, get off on cue. Bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, full count, can't foul off a ball.
I think that's sex? I got to tell you, I think by personality and you know, force of personality alone, I think you've achieved immortality.
So, Bill,
your show helps me along. I'm gratified that I get chances to do this.
Well, I was going to say, we got a SIG out here. Where can people find you if they want to read all the movie reviews that you've been referencing again?
BillMargold.com. BillMargold.com. I just put up my latest reviews. And then, of course, they can always get in touch with me, and I welcome questions at bmargold@aol.com, which I refer to as Agony Online.
So listen to Bill's previous episodes on this show. Go watch his movies. You can find most of them probably at adamandeve.com in the classics section. Bill, how many movies have you acted in? 100? 200?
Acted is rather amusing. No, I figure that I've appeared in 300 movies and I've done about 500 scenes.
damn. So, yeah, there's plenty of Bill out there.
Definitely. And again,
well, in fact, a little piece of me just showed up on YouTube this morning. I play a very strange sexologist, sex teacher, high school sex teacher. We're not allowed to mention high school. And the title now would be condemned. It's called Too Young to Know. But a little piece of me just showed up, and I watched it, and I thought, isn't that funny? I play a Mr. Hermes, this deranged sexologist teacher, who, when the girl asked me, what happens when you fuck a woman in the ass and you get pregnant, I say you give birth to a shithead.
I definitely understand that, and I'll look for it on YouTube. But we've got less than a minute. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. It's always a joy to have you on the show. And
thank you.
I definitely hope to have you back. Listeners, thanks a lot for joining us this week. We appreciate all of your time, and we will see you next week.
Good night.